And I just want to say again that when Kaylee first started coming to the study group,
in March, I remember the day.
In March, yeah. Awesome.
From Ruckersville, Virginia.
That's where I grew up. But I've been living here for 4 years now.
Oh, in Sterling. Yeah. Yeah, she's close. Yeah. And we love that about her. Mm-hmm. And you started talking about Joseph Murphy.
I have some quotes from him today.
And you know way more about Joseph Murphy than I do. And he was part of the founding of religious science. And I am just thrilled that you have a deeper understanding of the foundations of our philosophy in some ways than I do. And I can't wait to hear more about what you have to share with us.
That is very kind of you to say. Very, very kind of you. Thank you. So, to begin, I have planned a couple little meditations, very brief, but just nice, kind of fitting with a bookends for my talk. So I sort of look at and think of psychic experiences and psychic energy as kind of, if you want to use the term, like kind of airy, fairy, you know, it's involved with the higher energy centers, the throat, the third eye, the crown. So, but we're going to talk, we're going to be taking notes, we're going to be thinking, we're going to be digesting. So let's start with, I thought of a little, just a brief grounding meditation. Okay? So it's really simple, I'm going to keep it short, but it's one of my favorites, and I've done it myself when I was very anxious, when I was having some mental health stuff. I do it, and I was taught it by one of my best friends, and so I'd like to share it with y'all. Yeah, Dan, come on in. And we're just starting with a little bit of a grounding meditation, just to kind of get us all centered. So take a deep breath in and close your eyes if you feel comfortable doing that, and exhale gently. And I want you to just picture a tree. And it can be any tree you want it to be. It can be a beloved tree from childhood. For example, my dad, he grew up in New England, and he had a maple tree in his backyard, and it was tall and mighty and beautiful, and it would turn fiery red in autumn and made leaves as big as your head. And when I would visit when I was a kid, I would play in those leaves, and it just was gorgeous. So it could be a tree you love from childhood, or it could be a beautiful pine tree soaring to the sky and everything's drenched in emerald green and smells sweet and cool. Or it could be a palm tree deep in the sand with turquoise water lapping away not too far, sand beneath your feet, just a tree. And I just want you to walk up to that tree and touch it, feel it. Is there bark? Is it rough and brown, or is it soft and smooth like a birch tree? Or is it sandy? I want you to look at the branches that stretch up strong to the sky. And I want you to feel the roots beneath your feet. You can even dig your heels into the ground a little bit if you'd like here in real life. And I just want you to feel the strength of that tree. The beauty and the majesty. It's been here for centuries, how strong it is. And the roots that dig into the soft soil reach down and strong and keep it mighty and steady through the critters and the minerals and the crystals and the crust. How strong that tree is to be here for centuries, how wise it is. That's beautiful. And if you want to, you can sit at the base of this tree and just soak in that strength and that steadiness and that earth. And just let yourself breathe in and breathe out. And take in that groundedness, that majesty. Then when you're ready, you can open your eyes. And we can just keep that energy within us. While we listen and while we take notes, or if we think of questions, we're just steady and we're here. And we're at peace. And we have that same majesty of that tree within us. So, I love that meditation. I wanted to share that with you. So I will be talking today about Ernest Holmes' chapter from the book Love and Law about psychic phenomena, as he calls it. And I was thinking, this is perfect timing. Like, it was just serendipitous that we're a week away from Halloween, right? And, like, so we're talking about psychic phenomena. I think that's great. So, just to do a brief little summary, I'll be talking today about I'm going to start with the overarching theme of this chapter, which is oneness with God, with Source, with life. Okay? That oneness, the fact that we are God and God is us, right? And that permeates through everything in this chapter, really. But I'm going to start with discussing that a little bit more. And then we're going to go into, of course, a very brief discussion of reincarnation, the concept of it, what the author thinks of it. And then we're going to touch on, I'm going to touch on some thoughts I have about what a past life experience is. I'm going to bring into the fold some quotes from Dr. Joseph Murphy and his thoughts on psychic experience and past life in particular. And then I'm going to touch on mediumship, psychic acts and psychic readings, a little bit about psychic dreams, and then I'm going to end on ghosts and thought forms. Nothing spooky, no worries. I made sure. I was like, no ghost stories. No, I wouldn't do that anyway. But so that's just a brief little summary of what I'll be talking about. So I'm going to start with, like I said, this concept of oneness. And if any of you are familiar with, Celtic and very Western mythology and spiritual beliefs, it is said that at this time of year and the first couple weeks of November, the veil is thinner, right? And so it's this concept that the curtain between our 3D physical subjective world and the energetic spiritual realm is thinning. And at some points and some days, it's actually completely gone. And that's why the ancients used to be a lot more wary when they went out, because they believed that the spirits would be walking around. But the entire chapter, Holmes says that that separation is an absolute illusion. The objective fact of life is that we and God are one. And I have shared this with you all before. I was raised in a home where God was a scary and untouchable force. And this was a hard concept for me to grasp when I first began to study divine science and spiritual and metaphysical concepts. Because, you know, some people are raised in a world and a life where they have a very scientific point of view, you know, like, the atoms that we're made up of are different than the atoms of this table, right? And God doesn't exist because you can't see God. You can't empirically measure it. Or, like me, you were raised in a home where God is some force and man in the sky, and you're at his mercy, right? And if you make him mad, he hates you, and you can't even talk to him sometimes. Sometimes you have to go through a priest, right? Mm-hmm. And there's this horrible, I considered it horrible, separation. And I'm here to tell you, and Holmes is here to tell you, and Dr. Joseph Murphy's here to tell you, and the great sages, and Jesus was there to tell you, there is no separation. I am the Father, and the Father is me. The Father and the Son are one. We are God. God is us made manifest, and we are God made manifest. And most of all, and I find this very calming and beautiful, God is only love. God is not anger. God is not judgment. God is not disappointment. God is, what Holmes says, God is a cosmos, not a chaos, right? God is harmony. God is love. God is light. God is high vibration. God is peace. God is the beginning of all. It is the primordial soup, the primordial energy, if you will, that we all rose up out of. God became meat suits, if you will. We became manifest into human form. And I'll get into it further, but when we pass on to the next dimension, we go back to God. And as Connie mentioned in her opening prayer, sometimes there's elements where we feel separated, and there's times where we feel separated. But the objective fact and the objectivity of life is that there is no separation. God is us and we are God and we are one. And we're always together and God is always within us. Always there. Always there. Whether our subjective minds are realizing that or not, at that moment, God is still always there. And that is a beautiful and comforting thing that I've learned through my studying over these years. And a perfect example I love of this, the idea that God is within each of us, is Dr. Joseph Murphy. And I'll mention him a couple times. Connie briefly mentioned him. He was a religious science practitioner and a doctorate in it, I believe. And he was also a chemist, and he had a degree in psychology, a brilliant man, died in 1981. He did work with Holmes. He learned from Holmes, though he outlived Holmes a few years. And he wrote a book most famous for, it's called The Power of Your Subconscious Mind. And he also wrote a book that I've been listening to on audiobook called Psychic Perception, if you all want to check that out. It's a great book as well. But he uses an example in his works where he says, look at an acorn. And I tried to find an acorn to bring in, and like it's surprisingly hard to find an acorn, I'm just going to say that. I was like walking around with the dog, and I was like, I cannot find an acorn. But, so I want you to imagine an acorn. And if you look at an acorn, in that acorn is an oak tree. The entire map, the entire energy, the entire life force and plan of an oak tree is in that small acorn. And the acorn doesn't doubt itself. It doesn't struggle. It doesn't wonder if it's going to become an oak tree. It just goes into the earth and it becomes an oak tree. Okay? Now, that said, it does have to have soil, good, rich soil. It does have to have rain and water. It does have to have sunlight. It has to have good energy. It has to have a stable and strong and healthy environment. And so much like that acorn and that oak tree, to fully realize and live in the majesty of God within us and fully realize our God self, we have to practice fostering a healthy environment for ourselves to experience that. And we can do that through, John last time we met mentioned daily meditation, treatment of course, scientific prayer, affirmations, rewiring our brain in ways I've mentioned in previous sessions, looking into EFT, Psyche, ways to kind of work with our subconscious to make our brain and our minds a more fertile, positive environment to realize our God selves. And that can be tricky sometimes, but it's possible and it's something we can each work at every day so that we can, like that acorn, become a true beauty and manifestation and the full self of God that we are and that we're meant to be and that we're destined to be. And so, with that in mind, that's the whole overarching theme and thread that winds through this chapter, is that there's no separation between us and the majesty of God, the abilities of God. And so, I was listening to, like I said, Psychic Perception by Dr. Joseph Murphy, and he has a quote that I was driving to work, and I was like, oh my God, I have to save this quote for my talk. So, don't do this, folks, don't do this at home. I took my phone and I found the voice memo and I was like, save this quote for my talk. So it is, there is no end to the wonders within you. Okay? So this title is called Psychic Phenomena. But I don't really think it's a phenomena. It's a gift that each and every one of us has. I think that certainly some people have fostered a more helpful environment. Who have studied this or been raised in an environment with this, this was something that was encouraged. But I think everyone can access psychic experiences and psychic energy. Because again, there's no end to the wonders within us. So, one of the wonders and things that people have wondered about through the years is the concept of reincarnation. And you know, this is of course, there's eons of years of study and religious studies that have gone into the concept of reincarnation. So I'm going to give a brief summary here. don't take my word as gospel or anything. But essentially, the concept of reincarnation is that we are in our current 3D subjective states. And then when we pass on to the next dimension, our soul is going to decide, either based on how we lived in this life or what we need to learn in the next, what we're going to physically come back as in our next 3D experience. And it ties into a Buddhist concept called karma. You reap what you sow, you know. The very basic and rudimental concept is if you were a horrible person in this life and you treated people like crap, you're going to come back as an ant and be squashed in a day, you know. And Holmes says, no, I don't really think that's how this works. He says, here's the thing. There's a lot of subjectivity in the concept of reincarnation. He says, Holmes says, I think he uses the term, it's a mechanical process. It's a mechanical wheel, right? You come back and you have all these lives, and until you finally reach pure nirvana is the Buddhist concept. Not the 1990s rock band, but nirvana. And you become God finally. And Holmes is like, well, no, no, take all that out of the equation. We're God anyway. We don't need to take a next step to become anything. Objectively, the objective fact is that we're just God. We come from God. We don these forms, this three-dimensional form, where we have subjective experiences. We have our thoughts and our emotions, and we have that experience. But then when we pass on to the next dimension, we just go back to source. We just go back to God. There's not necessarily a subjective choice, because, again, if reincarnation is still a subjective idea, your soul has to go in and say, oh, gosh, okay, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? What do I have to learn? Do I have to do this all over again? And Holmes is saying, no, I don't really think that's how that works. You don't have to go through all that. You just go back to God. That's it. So the author doesn't think that reincarnation is how it works. And again, I just want to reiterate that, you know, it's absolutely all respect for all religions, people's beliefs. But that is just, that's Holmes' thought. That's divine science's idea, is that you really just go back to God. There's nothing that you have to prove or learn or make better. You just go back to source and love and light and harmony. And I think that's beautiful. Now, I will say this, and I do want to have a brief discussion because, you know, we are talking about psychic fun. And I do think it's fascinating. There's the concept of past lives and past life regression and past life hypnosis. And so if reincarnation isn't really a thing as we know it, then, like, what is this experience that we're calling a past life? And Holmes doesn't really get into that, but Dr. Joseph Murphy talks a lot about it in his book, Psychic Perception. I sound like I'm plugging it. I'm not plugging it. Like, I'm not getting paid for it at all. It's just a great book. And he says, I love this example he uses. He says, we are all a note in the symphony of life. Okay? We're the soft whistle of a woodwind, or the beautiful legato of a violin string, or a beautiful glissando on a piano keyboard. We're all a note in the symphony of life. Okay? And sometimes what happens is that a human being will strike simultaneously the note of someone who's already passed and moved on to the next dimension. Or they'll strike the same sort of tone or vibration, and the two will coincide. And so, you know, there are examples of past lives. I will tell you all now, I have had a past life hypnosis experience, and I had what I called at the time a past life regression and experience. And there's, of course, documented, and I can try and find the reference, but there's a documented case that always has fascinated me, of a young boy. He was maybe 5, and this was back in the 60s or 70s, I think, but he would talk to his parents about, just like we're talking right now, and he'd be like, yeah, I was in a plane, and I crashed and died. And the parents were like, okay, what do you do with that, you know? But this kid would talk and talk and talk about details of World War II and this plane, to the extent that the parents were actually able to research and find the type of plane it was, and it was a bomber that was active in the South Pacific during World War II. And somehow, I don't remember exactly how, they were able to get enough information from this 5-year-old to find out who this guy was. And because the veterans were still alive back then, more of them now, they went to a reunion. And this kid was 5, and he was walking up to these older men, and he'd know their families, and he'd know their nicknames from when they served together. And the men were like, are you kidding me? Like, what is this? So what are experiences like that? Or, for example, you know, you have a child who is born and is a piano prodigy, and the parents say, oh my gosh, this is the reincarnation of Mozart. You know, what is all that? And so Murphy posits that that is when that child, or that child who was gifted with music, at the moment of conception, the same note was struck as when Mozart was living. Or in this child's life, this five-year-old's life, that same tone of that soldier was struck. He wasn't necessarily the reincarnation, because again, that soldier's soul or that Mozart's soul has gone back to God. But that energy and that note and that subjective impression that those people made is still in the primordial soup, if you will, the whole world, the symphony of life. And sometimes those notes do get struck again. Again, that doesn't necessarily mean, oh my God, you're Mozart back in the flesh. No, it just means that energy and that tone and that vibration is similar or the same. For my example, I'll tell you all, I love Spanish. I've studied Spanish for 14 years. And I just was drawn to it in a way I didn't understand. And my past life experience, I found out apparently that I was someone from Argentina, right? So maybe at the moment of my conception, a note was struck that was like appreciation for languages in Spanish, right? So maybe that's how I got that. So that's just that's an idea about past lives that that Dr. Murphy puts out there that I thought was worth mentioning, you know, because Holmes says, you know, reincarnation really isn't it. But we do still have these experiences of past lives or connection with things. And I loved that concept of the symphony of life, and we're all a beautiful note. And I want to also point out at this moment that I don't want to get too all quantum physics-y here, but time is an illusion, right? So in the symphony of life and in this whole existence, there is no beginning and end. And science is actually showing that to us. Scientists are saying more and more each day, time's not a linear thing, right? And there's a theory, I think, that Einstein put out there that every possible moment for every person, past, present, or future, is constantly replaying itself. So who's to say in a moment we don't slip back into, or in a dream we don't slip back into another moment? Because again, we're all connected. We're all together. We're all from the same source, the same God. It's an interesting idea. So just keep that in mind, that time isn't linear. That's a strange thing to think about. But it comes into play a little bit later when I'll be talking about psychic experiences. So we talked a little bit about reincarnation. And next, Holmes talks about mediumship. And mediumship is the idea that a human being can connect with and speak to a dead person, or a ghost, if you will. And Holmes says, I think the actual words he uses are like, I don't necessarily think that's how it goes. And I love that. I love that, because he's not like saying outright, no, you know, he's just saying, I just don't think that's quite how it works. And the idea with mediumship is that the objective fact, again, is that we are all God, God is all us, we are all one. But we are having experiences subjectively. Everything we're seeing is through a subjective lens. Everything we're feeling and going through, everyone we meet, leaves a subjective impression on the ether, on the vibration of the world. Okay? So what a medium does is they tap into that. They tap into the subjective experience. So if I sit down across from a medium and they say, oh my God, you had an Aunt Jane, and she loved to eat Brussels sprouts, and she loved the color purple, and she would take you to Honolulu every year where you would drink drinks out of a coconut. And I'm like, oh my God, that's like down to the detail, and I didn't tell this person anything. All they're doing is they're putting themselves in a trance, Holmes calls it. And it's just where you subdue your conscious mind enough, because your conscious mind is all chatter, 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 and doubt, and like, I don't think this works. And you subdue it enough for your subconscious mind to come forth. And that, hearkening back to the fertile environment for our God self, that's a more fertile environment for ourselves to experience divine mind. So the medium is able to put themselves in that really lovely environment for that experience, and they simply tap into our subjective experience and subjective thoughts about Aunt Jane. And that's essentially what mediumship is. There are instances when people table tap or table move or telekinesis, and that's all based on a belief. Holmes talks about how, again, thought equals form. We believe something to happen, and it happens. And that medium goes into a session saying, I believe that I can tap into a subjective idea or a dead person, and they're able to do that, right? So that's sort of how he discusses mediumship. And it's a similar vein when he discusses psychic experiences and psychic readings. And I was actually a little bit surprised at how much he kind of, he doesn't really poo-poo it, but he's sort of like, you know, don't totally rely on psychics and reading and readings and things of that sort. Because he says, again, everything's through a subjective lens. Right? So you could go in and, again, the psychic who's reading you puts themselves into a trance, as Holmes says, and they spread out tarot cards or runes, and they tap into the energy, and they tap into that divine note from the symphony of life, and that subjective impression, and your mind, and they bring out the cards, but that whole interpretation is a subjective thing, right? And so Holmes is like, subjective is not really as objective as we can be. What we can actually do is we can go straight to source and go straight to God and ask. And he says you can treat for that. You can go straight to the objective fact, the objective truth, the objective beauty of God. So, like, I'm not saying, no, don't go to a psychic. I think sometimes psychics can be great if you want an outside opinion, if you feel like you're really attached to something. Almost like therapy in a way. You can get a different point of view. But he's saying, you know, don't totally rely on it because you can really just go straight to source and ask. One of my favorite examples of this is Dr. Murphy talks about, he was a chemist, right? So his first job, and he had a fellow friend who was an archaeologist. And the archaeologist had found this artifact, and it was in pieces. And he was like, I cannot figure out how this thing goes together. And Dr. Murphy said, all right, what I want you to do is before bed, I want you to lull yourself to sleep with the word answer. And when you wake up and when you go to bed is oftentimes when your subconscious mind is up in the forefront. So it's, again, a more fertile ground to have a divine mind experience. And so this scientist, this archaeologist, lulled himself to sleep for a week with the word answer. And the last night he said he had a dream where a gentleman dressed as the tribe he was researching walked up to him and showed him in his hands the completely constructed artifact. And he woke up and he grabbed the pad of pencil and pad of paper and pencil by his bed, drew it, and the next day put it all together. Right? So you can go to God and source because everything that happened is all there. And you are one with divine mind. Any answer you want, you can get. You are one with divine mind. Never forget that. You just have to have the right atmosphere and the right ground and the right soil and sun and water to have that experience. And so, drawing from that, we have psychic dreams. We do have those. And this is interesting because this gets into, you know, people dream about the past or the future. And again, that gets back to the fact that time's not linear. Anything can happen. You know, we're all experiencing. We're all in God. We're all God. God is everything that's ever happened. So one of my favorite examples is, I'll be honest with you. I'll tell y'all. I once had a dream. I didn't win anything, but I saw three of the lottery numbers. I swear to God. And the next day, three of those things were drawn. So I just think it's fun little things like that. Because the day earlier, my dad loves playing the lottery. That's a very New England thing, Connie. He loves the lottery. So he's like, let's go play the lottery. So that was in my mind. And when I was going to sleep, I was thinking and saying, oh, Dad, laughing about it a little bit. Had that dream, you know. It sounds amazing, but it's true, you know, because time isn't a thing. So our dreams are able to access those sorts of things because, you know, we're just more in tune with divine mind. Our subconscious is more upfront while we're sleeping. Another example I love of a sort of psychic dream is Dr. Murphy. Again, he had an opportunity to go and take a position speaking and lecturing in the south of Asia. And he was like, okay, well, I'll think on it. And he meditated on it for about a week. And he had a dear friend come to him in his dream. And the friend showed him a newspaper. And the headline said, war. And he said, he woke up the next day and he said, you know, no thank you, I've decided I'm not going to go. 3 years later, the Vietnam conflict began. So again, we can receive guidance absolutely from the divine, from God. It's just a matter of asking for it. We can also ask for things to be inspired by. And so Holmes talks about how you can get inventions. Anything that you could ever want is already in divine mind, and you can draw that to you. The key is to do the treatment correctly, which is, it can be tricky. You have to, Holmes says, you know, anybody can say words. Anybody can recite something. The key is you have to feel it. And I will tell you my favorite example. And I looked like a fool, but it's okay, because it worked. Every morning, before I had the job that I have now, which I love and I'm so grateful for, I would wake up in the morning and I'd go in my bathroom and I'd close my door. And I would literally jump and dance in front of my mirror and smile and grin from cheek to cheek and just say to myself, I have gotten the job. I am now a editor at XYZ company. And I would feel it, man. For 3 minutes, I was acting like I won $1 million, and I would feel so joyful. And 3 weeks later, I had the job. I had the offer in my mailbox. Okay? So the key here is to just find how you can best get into that mindset to really ask divine mind and God. That's the best way to treat and scientifically pray. If you can feel the way you'll feel when you get that answer, if you can feel that elation, that joy, that relief, if you can feel that, if you can feel the excitement you'll feel when you get that new chapter for your novel, you can get into that mind. Whatever, however you do it, whether it's like me and you're dancing in front of your mirror looking a fool, but that's okay, or whether you are in a group meditation, or whether you're just doing your morning meditations, however you can best get there, that's the way you do it for yourself. And everyone's different. And so you can treat that way. You can have those experiences. You can get your answer from divine mind in that way. You just have to find the way that's best easily for you to access God and Source. Because the answers will come, and they do come. So that touches a little bit on psychic dreams and sort of psychic phenomena experiences with psychic readings. And then Holmes also, very fittingly for Halloween, talks about ghosts. And he says ghosts are essentially energies and forms who are here with a purpose. And once their purpose is complete, they move on. And that could be as classic as, you know, the dad comes back to tell his children that he hid the money in the safe. You know, that kind of purpose, if you will. Or it could be, you know, there's a haunted house in the woods, and for decades, teenagers have been going there and scaring each other. So who knows? Maybe there is, because of their subjective beliefs and that energy that's been put there for years and years and years, maybe there is a little energy there. So ghosts are essentially thought forms. And this goes into, I wanted to bring up the concept of, again, another Buddhist idea, tulpas, T-U-L-P-A-S. Again, it's a religious concept, but it's a tulpa, it's a thought form. It's the fact that our energy and our thought and our subjective beliefs literally can manifest an entity or an energy. And some people argue, not to get too spooky, like this is what demons are, this is what angels are, this is what ghosts are. But that's just an interesting concept, the thought that we are so literally powerful, that we have the manifesting and creation power of God within us, that our brains and our minds can create these things. I think that's awesome. But again, the key is really learning how to not necessarily master, because I think this experience, this 3D objective field is more about us learning and growing, not necessarily mastering to the extent that someone like Christ did, but, you know, just sort of learning how to work with our brains and our minds so that we can best harness our God self and our God power and our God ability and our God resources. Because it's possible and it's beautiful and it's a gift and it's amazing. And that's what this chapter really touched on. So I talked, just to kind of sum up here, I talked a little bit about, well, I tried to weave it throughout, the concept that we are one with God and God is us, and there is no separation whatsoever. Sometimes you have to remind yourself and create a safer, healthier space for you to realize that connection, but it's never truly disconnected. We talked about reincarnation, what Holmes kind of thinks about it. We talked a little bit about mediumship and psychic readings and psychic dreams and the symphony of life and time not being linear. And then we ended a little bit on ghosts and tulpas. So it was an interesting chapter. It was a fun chapter. But to really end, I mentioned before I was going to bookend with a couple, start with meditation, end with a meditation. So I'd like to have us just end
Whereas we began with a meditation on grounding and earth energy, I'm going to have us end and tap into divine mind, the very divine mind we've been talking about. So when you're ready, if you'd like to, close your eyes. Take a deep breath in. Exhale. In your mind's eye, I'd like to picture yourself back at that tree. Whether it was the majestic evergreen, or the tall and beautiful maple or oak, or the palm tree swaying in the coconut-scented breeze. Whatever that tree was, you're back there. And you give thanks to the earth and the energy and the steadiness and the majesty. But then in your mind's eye, in your imagination, you look up to the sky. And I want you to look at the sky, and is it robin's egg blue? Is it blue, blue, blue like a summer's day? Is it violet and navy, scattered with a million diamond-like stars? Or is it tangerine and pink and turquoise of a sunset or sunrise? Whatever it is, I want you to focus on the sky and the air and the breeze. And then, kind of like you're a superhero, I want you to just gently push off the ground and float into the sky, and then I want you to imagine yourself, and I do this when I need to relax often, just imagine yourself on a cloud, like you're just sitting on a cloud. If you've ever been in an airplane, you look at those clouds and you swear they're so soft and bouncy looking, you could just jump out and roll on them and bounce around. They're so beautiful. And just let the cloud be whatever you want it to be. For me, the cloud is puffy like cotton candy. And it's pure white like a summer's day. So beautiful and lush. And there's gentle wisps of lavender and spring blue and pink, the blush of a peony's petal in springtime. Whatever the space is for you, let it be. Let yourself relax into it. You're safe in this sky, in this air, in this cloud. And then you realize that there's golden light all around you, and it's warm and it's sparkling. It's beautiful. And you know that this is God. This is love and pure harmony, pure beauty, just perfection. And it's all surrounding you, and it's in you, and it's warm. And it's rushing through you, and it's feeding you with health and warmth and strength. And you know in this moment that that is always there. It is at your very center, your very self, your very being. And this divine mind, this beauty, this source, this God. Now, if you'd like to, you can ask it a question. And whether that question is something specific or, you know, for me, I'm just going to intend anything that I need to be told. For my highest and greatest good, I am told now. And you could, if that's what you want, or if you just want, I intend this time for rest and a moment of connection with God. If that's what you want to connect with, intend that and put that out into the golden light. And the golden light is going to respond. And then once you find your sense of center and peace within this intention, just let yourself sit with it. And we're just going to sit here and rest in the palm of a cloud, warm and soft and filled with just health and light and love. And know that divine mind is there and ready to provide you with everything you need in this moment. The answer, just relaxation, whatever you need, God and source is here now giving it to you. So let's just spend a couple minutes just enjoying this, just resting. You can breathe if you'd like, inhale, exhale. Or just stay softly breathing, whichever is best for you. And now that we've had a couple moments to just bask in that beauty and that light, let's roll on our sides on this cloud, and let's gently, just like you're floating like a dandelion in the breeze, let's go back to earth here. Let's picture ourselves again back on the ground by that beautiful tree. You feel the ground beneath your feet, whether that is a sandy, warm beach, grains between your toes, whether it's dew-covered grass, green, green, green with springtime, or wildflowers surrounding you, black-eyed Susans, forget-me-nots, whatever it is, or just beautiful, rich summer dirt, or a gorgeous array of golden and fiery orange leaves from autumn. Whatever it is, feel it beneath your feet. Dig your heels a little bit into the ground and touch the tree again. Just feel the majesty in the earth and the grounding and the strength. You're back here. You're back on this physical plane. You're back in this body, and you're steady and you're strong and you're rooted like this beautiful tree. And I'd like to say that anytime you need this tree is here for you. If you need a moment when you're about to give a presentation at work, or you're having a stressful time in traffic, just picture this tree, and if you want to, be a full-on tree hugger and give it a hug. And let its energy and its wisdom and its grounded and its peace, everything it's seen, it's still standing strong and still beautiful, because that's the majesty of God. No matter what, God is love, and God is strength, God is harmony, God is perfection, God is order, and you are part of God. You are God made manifest. Never forget that. And I bless each one of you with that knowledge. May you rest in it. May you find peace in it. May you find that the moments during the day become more often when you realize you are a God self than any other moment. Your positivity and your moments of realizing you are God outnumber any other moment. I wish that for you. And I thank you all for letting me speak and letting me share with you. And I hope you've learned something and had some nice thoughts or some nice things to meditate on, maybe. And I just send you all with love and light. And you can open your eyes and gently blink and take a deep breath in. And exhale. But I just send you all off with love and light. And may you think and ruminate on that which is good and fine and beautiful. Because you are good and fine and beautiful. You are God. And you are of the divine self and divine mind. And you are divine mind, and divine mind is you. And all answers come to you in divine order. Thank you. And so it is. Hope you enjoyed!
That was awesome. That was awesome. I love it.